The Gospel of Mark has virtually no extended periods of teaching in it, in the same way that the Gospel of Matthew does. For example, Matthew has a Sermon on the Mount, which is 5, 6, and 7. It has long discussions towards the end. A lot of teaching discussions in the Gospel of John, particularly the 6 or 7 chapters that make up just the Last Supper in Jesus' teaching to his disciples. Gospel of Luke has parable after parable after parable. You think of your favorite parables, the Good Samaritan, it's only in Luke. The Prodigal Son, it's only in Luke. Mark only has 2 long stories to tell. It's this one, and in chapter 13, an extended period of teaching about when the end will come. That's it. Mark is a gospel of action. But he takes the time, interestingly, he's more interested in Jesus' storyline, what happens, how it is he moves along. But Mark records this story. Therefore, we want to say that for Mark, as he's making sure his readers understand Jesus Christ, this is probably the one parable that really matters to him in terms of its depth, its ability to communicate truth. And so, therefore, we look at it today. And the great thing about it is it's just an ordinary discussion. Once he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," he's done. The story's over, and they go home. And the first question that we say is, farmers, and just in terms of an application of a story, is he right? Like, is this an agricultural story that makes sense? Yes? Perfectly? Anything he's wrong about? No? Anything he's fudged? You don't want to say that out loud, right? Ah, Jesus, I don't think he got it right there. True. But, and does it make sense, like in just terms of a story, right? It's an agricultural example of a point he's trying to make, except that he doesn't make the point. At least he doesn't make the point to the whole crowd. It's as if he's told a story to let it germinate. Sometimes the best stories are like this. You just don't get the ending right away. You have to wait and allow it to kind of sink in, allow the truth of it to kind of say, what on earth was that all about? And down the road, it could make sense. Jesus in the Gospel of Mark is always about this. He is not interested in always clarifying what he's saying. He wants it to play out. He wants people to see it actually post-crucifixion, post-resurrection, because then it begins to make sense. Before that, if you tried to say, let's talk about God, let's talk about the love of God, let's talk about my life, but do it apart from the cross, it doesn't work. We do it apart from the resurrection, it doesn't work. It just becomes God talk. It just becomes principles, life principles that we put into place. But Jesus is always interested in having him understood in light of the cross and the resurrection. And one can only assume that Mark, when he's writing down the stories that matter, they always had lots of material to work with, that he wrote down this to help us make sense of the world's response to the cross and the resurrection. Because that is at the heart of the gospel. And the disciples, in verses 10, 11, and 12, they say, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables." So there's more parables spoken that day, but this is the one they're focusing on. "He said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" Quoting from Isaiah. These parables are something that actually have to be entered into through faith. And I love the example that's always been given to me about the stained glass window. To say that you took a friend of yours and you walked him outside to the back of our church and you said, "Look at that, isn't that amazingly beautiful?" What are they looking at? a black piece of glass. You notice that? You ever notice that stained glass is ugly on the opposite side? Like, you paid money for that? But really? It's only makes sense when you come inside and you see how, in fact, the light comes in. It's directional. It works one way only. And you begin to see, oh, these are beautiful. These are telling us a story. These aren't just for decor. This is actually the symbols of the faith in scripture verses on the back. Parables are like this, that if you just were to take them apart from a faith component, if you were to look at them apart from an understanding that God is behind them, wanting to communicate something, they will look like the dark glass on the stained glass windows on the other side. People will say, that's a neat story. Great. So, what's the point? Go throw your seed on good soil, right? Well, that's actually not the point Jesus is trying to make at all. He has something quite more powerful to say. And therefore, he explains it to them. One of the few times, actually, we have Jesus actually explaining his parable. Again, the importance of this parable in the Gospel of Mark. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Verse 13, how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. No one would have got that. But now he's explaining it. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. If the first layer was just an ordinary story that Jesus is telling to communicate a point, the second layer, which will not be the final point, the second layer is there is a sense in which you come inside the building, you look at the stained glass on the inside, and it simply describes what is. Does this not describe what is? You ever ask yourself the question, why? Why is it that not everybody looks at the cross and says, wow? Why is it that not everybody looks at the empty tomb and said, amazing? How do people not make it through the day? How do they make it through the day without the truth of the gospel that God sent his son for us? This is literally a description of what is. And if you think about it in terms of percentages, if he's got four different types of soils, we've only got at least 25% of market share, right? And we all know the truth of this. When he says it, it makes sense. Just as the farmer knows that this soil, it goes on the hard pan, it's going to be snatched up by the birds. We know, we've seen a hard heart of which the seed of the word just hits and bounces off. There is no penetration at all. And it is no surprise that we use the word evil to describe why it is that nothing is taking root. Satan comes and snatches it. They are almost sold out completely, to that which is contrary to what God is for in this world. They are completely and utterly vulnerable to the temptations of evil, and nothing makes a dent. We've seen this. We've seen it on a personal level. We've seen it on cosmic levels. If we look at a genocide in Rwanda, if we look at World War II and concentration camps, can you not say that that is really a place where hard hearts ruled? It is. We've seen it maybe in our own personal lives when we come up to a hard heart where the evil is just really taken root. And then we've seen the second, and interestingly, some of you may even have seen yourselves in this in the past or now. I do. The second one is that the word comes. We're like, this is great. This is the best news I've heard. I just wanted some good news. And struggles come, and the word isn't so deep. Hardship comes our way. I thought that God loved me. I thought that if I followed him, things were going to work out great. And I'm dealing with difficulties and struggles in life. Persecution comes my way. I'm being actually made fun of for what I believe. Persecution is on account of the word. Sure enough, the shallow ground, the shallow heart can't withstand it. Storms come and it topples them over. The third, boy, all of us have probably felt this. Hearing the word, of course, but the cares of the world, that is the thing, all the things that the world is anxious about, concerned about, running towards, rules our hearts. The deceitfulness of riches, cannot worship both God and money. We really allow it to control our decisions, our every waking moment. When the desires for other things, selfish desires, not good desires, but selfish desires, begin to see that this is a thorny ground. And you know what? Rather than it just kind of shriveling and dying, it's a slow choke, which is a great illustration, right? If one just doesn't penetrate at all and the other pops up and dies quickly, this one is just kind of slowly being constricted. And you can just see, you know it. You can see the flower in the backyard where you haven't watered very much. It's just slowly, 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 slowly starting to shrivel. And the weeds crop up and it begins to take it apart as well. We've seen this. We know that this is true. That the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of money, selfish desires just come and choke what we thought was healthy life, proving it unfruitful. And yes, we know and we see that there's this great production at times in the lives of people who, by the way, never have it easy in life, who never go without struggles or hardships or difficulties, who have pain in the midst of their realities. But we do see that though rain comes on the fields, though wind blows on the fields, though the sun scorches the fields, and though there's plenty of water at times, or there's not so much, like we're having right now, we still know it's a good field. It's producing. And what this says is that this is really the reality of the world in which we live. It's a tough game. We know there's hard pan soil. We know there's shallow soil. We know there's thorny soil for hearts. And this is Jesus helping us to make sense of why it is. It seems people don't see. But on this level, it's not the place at which Jesus wants to stop. He's not fatalistic. Here's the story. This is how the world works. You need to come to terms with that. There is a sense that, yeah, we're realists. We know that evil is powerful. We know that there are temptations. We know that there is deceit. We have to have our eyes wide open to it. But what Jesus is getting at here which is why he says that they, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven, is that he is in fact interested in this very reality, that there is a significant difference between hearing and really hearing. You notice in this text, the word hear is used for each soil. They all hear it. And they all hear the word. That is, the word is made known to them. But the only one that really survives is the one that really hears it, which is to say that the hearing that Jesus is after is not simply saying, yeah, I heard the story. I get the point. The real hearing is something that penetrates deep within. There's nothing like having your son or your daughter tell you that they love you, right? We can kind of go through the motion. I love you all the time. There's a point in which a parent kind of wakes up and says, wow, they actually really just said that. And I'm really hearing that right now in a way that just makes me just want to, what do guys do when they're happy? I don't know. Play golf. Yeah. No, just feel joy in your heart. Just you hear words all the time, but finally there's a point at which you really hear it. We know this is what it's like in disagreements when we're having discussions or arguments, and you're kind of, I hear you. No. Oh, I finally hear you. And you got a good point there. We hear lots of things, but this is really hearing the word of the Lord. Hearing it and accepting it and allowing it to bear fruit. That is to say that we are submitting ourselves to it. It's not information that we've said, okay, I can agree with that. It's actually, no, I'm going to be the field in which this is going to become fertile. I am going to be receiving what it is that God wants to communicate to me. I am no longer my own. I am His. I receive it, and I hold dear to it. And why is Jesus very much interested in this being the case, that people really hear, and that we take the long road in trying to communicate again and again and again to different types of soil, is because he wants them to really hear as well. If we took this just as a description of what is, we would give up. And there's nothing more joyful than to hear the story, like I hear, of a parent who prayed for their son for 32 years, and finally they really heard. How many of you know someone who at one point could be described as the hardest pan field you've ever seen, and now they're following the Lord? How many of you knew those who at one point lived for the dollar, such they were willing to sacrifice all of their quality time with family and friends for the boat and all the riches they could have, who now have turned around? How many of you know those who used to just wither over when anything difficult came their way, and you now look at them and you say, wow, that person has a spine. It's actually motivating for me to see that. We all can see this, friends. Jesus doesn't tell parables just to say, get used to what is. Jesus tells parables so that we would never give up, that he would lose not one of those sheep that are lost, and that we pay attention to how important, though, this hearing is. And what is it that the hearing is entailed in? The Word. It's the one thing that we have at our disposal that matters more than anything else as Christians. It's not the perfection of our life, which of course isn't there. That's laughable. Not the beauty of our buildings. It's not how long we've been in business. It's not the impact we've had throughout the years. The only thing that really matters at the heart of what a church is the Word. The Word. That we never give up listening to the Word. We never apologize for the proclaiming of the Word. We never say that the Word doesn't have power because I'm not seeing results. What does the sower do in this parable? He throws it everywhere. That's not a good farmer, right? Did you go waste 75% of your seed on the bad soil? You don't have the money for that. He sows it everywhere. The Word is the power of God, and therefore we say, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. For she who has ears to hear, let her hear. We pray, and we never give up. We proclaim the Word, and we never give up. We do it for ourselves. Troy, listen to the Word. If you have ears, hear it finally. Get it right. But we do so because we know that the sower is a very liberal sower and sowing it everywhere. That they would hear it, that they would accept it, and yes, that they would bear fruit. The power of the sown word. Let's pray.